Hello?
Okay, good. Hey, guys. Man, it's good to be back. I have not seen y'all since Passion Play. And this is kind of a weird thing because I called y'all to repent about a million times during Passion Play.
Woo.
Dude, and I broke the stick when I was, you know, when I was doing the repent. Yeah, did I? The little chip. Yeah, someone, I was like, boom! And then, like, man, it said the chip, like, a piece of the wood went, you know, so I was going, like, needed to hit one of those people that needed to repent. It almost hit Amanda. No, that was funny, because we were like, so, you know, we were like watching it on video, me and another guy, and all I worry about is it was going to hit my wife, because she was doing the props, and Jesus throws it like, and we said, oh, it went right past Amanda. But then we're like, it disappeared, where'd it go? We're like, oh, it hit somebody! And then we all ran out there, and did it hit anybody? He's like, no, but it was... Okay, anyways, I know. Alright, so I had a blast with you guys at Passion Play. Those of you that were in it, it was an absolute blessing. And you have no idea how much the play itself blessed me, but working with you guys in the play blessed me so much. I gained a lot of friends. I learned a lot more about Jesus from that play, especially after doing John the Baptist 500 times. Guy was mad. He was mad and he was tired of being bored or something. Okay, so I'm going to talk about a topic today that will probably, I don't want to say bother some of y'all, but it kind of bothered me for a long time. So, here we go. If you have thought about heaven or death, maybe like the last week, raise your hand. Okay, good. If you avoid the idea of heaven or death, raise your hand. Okay, good. One or two. Okay, you avoid the idea of heaven. Or how about, let's think about death. Okay, how many of you, you're like, heaven, no, I love heaven. Death, no. Okay, no. Okay, death. How many of you think about the idea of death? And you're like, how many of you try to avoid the idea of death because it's freaky? All right, good. Okay. How many of you, it really doesn't matter and you haven't thought about it until about the last 30 seconds? All right. So some people are going to be excited. Some people are going to be like, oh, goodness. I'll tell you about myself and death, okay? You're going to learn something new about me. You always learn something new or weird or kind of like disturbing about me. And I don't know what you're going to think about this, so I'll tell you about my experience about death. I used to worry about death on a hourly basis. All right? Death used to freak me out. Still a little bit, you know. But here's the thing. I don't know where it happened, but one time in my life, I just started to think, I'm going to die, you know. By the way, do you know what the death rate in the U.S. is? 100%. Anyway, so in the world, it's 100%. Well, that's what the Bible says. Death rate in the world is 100%. We're all going to die one day. But I used to be kind of really, really scared to die. And it didn't help that I was in middle school when I started getting a lot of these feelings, too, because every single week, you know, there's that one weird guy at school that's like, oh, we're going to get bombed tomorrow. And, the world's going to end tomorrow at 3:27, you know. And so for a whole day and a half, I'd be like, oh, 3:27, it's coming. You know, and I used to think I'm going to die. Okay, how many of y'all have someone at your school that's like that? World's going to end tomorrow at 3:27 and a half. It just depends on what time zone you're in or something. Okay, I know. Okay, here's the thing. We were on a daily basis. I had weird friends like that, by the way. And I would hear that all the time. That stuff freaked me out because, I mean, I was always waiting. Like every time I'd see a jet fly by, I was all like, oh, there goes the bomb. They dropped it. You know, you know, and I would go to sleep and I'd like close my eyes and I'd think, oh, that's it. I can't close my eyes anymore. You know, because if I close my eyes, I'm not going to wake back up. I'm going to die. All right. Kind of freaky, huh? Yes.
I was nine.
Okay. Yeah, well, there's nothing you can do after that. That meteor hit. You've got about 10 seconds to repent. That's all I can say. Now, all right, I'm going to go even deeper. Because that's when I was a kid, and you think, well, that was just when a kid, and you grow out of it. So I'm about 21 years old, and 9/11 comes, right? All right. I'm trying to give it to you. And you see those two towers being hit, and I'm like, ooh, that's pretty scary. But then you hear about, you know, you know, another plane goes down, and then you hear about the Pentagon, and then all of a sudden these thoughts of death start coming back to me, and I'm freaked out. And so for about a year, every single day, every single hour of the day, every single moment I was awake, I would think about death. That's kind of eerie, isn't it? That's kind of almost depressing. How many of y'all would be depressed if that was going on through your mind all the time? Okay. I don't want to ask who's depressed about it, but I want you to understand that there is a reality in death itself. Okay? And we do have to face it because it will happen. And there are some questions that people have about death, such as, when animals die, do they go to heaven?
All dogs go to heaven.
Right. According to the cartoon movie. Okay, but according to the cartoon also, there is a little animal that can put a thing around her head and she'll be okay in her little tank bowl underneath the sea. Sandy from, yeah. Okay, so don't believe every little cartoon you see. Now, but here's the thing. We have to face it one day. I'm not saying we're going to face it in the next 5 minutes. But it's possible we could face it. You don't know what's going to happen, but death is coming. And before I start talking about what happens after you die, let me clear something up for you. All right? Everyone go to 1 Corinthians 15. Everyone go to 1 Corinthians 15, because for some of you who are kind of wondering what, you know, should I be scared about death or should I... What should I think about death? Or, you know, I don't understand this death thing. Or I mean, it freaks me out now. Thanks a lot, Rudy. Okay. I want to read this to you. 1 Corinthians 15, and we're starting on verse. Lost my spot. Verse 20. Okay. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his foot. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death, for he has put all things under his foot. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he has put all things under him is expected. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Okay, a lot of under hims, but here's the idea. Christ defeated death. Yay. Okay, the first time I heard that, you have no idea how excited I was. Because my whole life, I have been scared of death. And I hear that, and I read that in God's Word, and I know God's Word is real and is true. And so I see that, and I go, because I'm a believer in Christ, and I know that, and I just read this, that means that I don't die. Yay! Because And a lot has been lifted off my shoulders ever since I've read those verses about Christ finally defeating death, you know. And here's the thing. What did it say Adam brought?
Death.
Okay, Adam brought death, okay, because he did sin. And we're not talking, I'm talking about, you know, there is a physical death, and yes, Adam brought a physical death. He also brought on spiritual death. Okay, before Adam, think about this, if Adam had not sinned, then he would have had perfect fellowship with God for eternity. Kind of makes me wonder what would have happened to us. Would we have been here or not? Okay, weird question, but think about that, I don't know. But here's the thing, Adam brought on death, meaning because of that, there is a such thing as a physical death, where one day our heart will stop beating. Adam also brought on a spiritual death. Now, here's what Christ did. Christ kind of reversed it all. And Christ didn't, Christ defeated death. Christ defeated that death that Adam had brought on. And those that believe in Jesus Christ will have eternal life. And that's awesome because it means that you'll live forever and I don't have to worry about death anymore, which used to take 12 to 13 hours of my life. And it used to freak me out a lot. Now, that being said, everyone go to 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 8. Oh, go to 2 Corinthians 5, because I want to talk to you about what happens when you really die, which is a question. A lot of people have questions like, well, what happens when you die? Your body goes in the ground. Like, is your body going to brown? Do you stay in the ground? Do you sleep with the worms? And do you talk with the worms? And like when you're there, do you get bored if you're really bored in the ground? I mean, and what if this little worm comes inside your little box with you? Are you going to hate it? Anyways, so there's a lot of things that go on in my mind whenever I'm thinking about death. And a lot of you are like, whoa, freaking me out, Rudy. Go move on. But here's the thing. I want to talk to y'all about what happens to you when you die. And so we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 through 8. There it is. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. All right. Let's go back to verse 1. Now, Paul is using two different things to talk about our bodies. All right? He talks about an earthly body, and then he talks about a spiritual body. Right? Let's look at the earthly body. What does Paul say about our earthly house? What is it? It is a tent. So when we think about a tent, what do we think about? Huh? Camping. Okay, you think about camping. I've never been camping, and I'm scared to go camping because there's probably these little, I keep thinking about these, like, one day a big snake, anyways, okay, here's the thing. I am still scared to die by a snake bite, all right? Now, so I want you to think about that, but tent. Let's think about the word tent. What is a tent?
Temporary.
A T-E-N-T. All right. By the way, do y'all remember what Paul was? What his job was? A what? He was a tent maker, right? And so he's going to talk about tents. Hey, okay, so Paul's talking about tents, and so he's got a good idea about what a tent is. A tent is just something that you kind of put up, right? And you're like, hey, this is something I can stay in as long as it doesn't rain or get windy or a little bear comes over and, okay? But Paul says that our bodies are our earthly bodies are like tents, that our earthly bodies are like tents that will one day be taken down, right? And Paul says, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, which is what? What type of building do we have? Which is like a permanent house. Which is better, a tent or a house? House. Okay, good. You guys got the idea. Tent versus house. Tent versus house. Okay. Yeah. So she's over here. I'm like, tent versus house. And she's like, I got it. All right. Anyways, that's like the way I study. Now, the thing is, guys, is that our bodies, like I said, are these earthly tents. And heavenly bodies are these houses compared to tents. Okay? And furthermore, just so people won't get confused, like, but wait a minute, don't houses, get swallowed up, you know, or they float away when a hurricane comes and destroys them? Right, exactly. House made without human hands. Okay, meaning that human hands make these earthly houses, but they're not talking about these earthly houses. What he's talking about, he's talking about this house that God has made for us, which is pretty exciting. Because, let's read a little bit more. Verse 2 says, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. Groan. What do y'all think about? Groan. Well, he says, in this we groan. Okay, you could probably say that we complain, right? What else? Think about your life. What do all of us do at least one time in our life? We either complain, we whine. Yes. Huh? We grow? Okay. So you groan when you grow? Oh, growing pains. Okay. Well, yeah, because you're right. I did have these knee pains when I was younger because my apparently I had big bones or something. It was horrible. So, yeah. But when you get older, like my age, I'm only like 28. I'm like talking like a 60-year-old guy. But even now, I've got like really, really bad knees. And like every time I bend over, you can like hear my knees creak. And I sound like this 80-year-old guy. I'm like, oh! You know, just to pick up a penny off the floor. I hate changing flat tires and stuff sometimes because it hurts my back and all that stuff. And I can only imagine what a 50-year-old man would probably be going through. Like my dad, I'll be honest about my dad. He's a big guy. You think I'm big? My dad's a big version of me. So he's pretty big, and man, it kind of bugs me at times because. One, he's not a Christian, and I wish he would be a Christian, and I wish he could come to Christ, and I'm looking for every opportunity to witness to him. But two, man, his body's like getting, it's starting to, man, just fall apart, right? And he's going to the doctor every week, and he groans, and he moans, and man, just the things that older people go through. And he's only like 50. I mean, think about these 70-year-old people, right? And like 70-year-old people are like, they can barely walk. And then you go to 90-year-old people, you're like, wow, how are you still, you know, walking? You know, and then there's like these people who live in China, right? And I don't know if it's true, but these like 115-year-old people or something that live in China, and they're still like playing baseball or stuff in the backyard. I don't know, but. What happens to our bodies? They get older, they wear out, and because of that, we start to groan. All right? And even in our life, we start to complain. And then he says, for we are in this tent, we who are in this tent groan, being burdened. Okay, so yes, it is a burden being in this body that you have. It is a burden. You shouldn't. I don't want to say that you should feel like you are perfect or that you have a perfect body or that you have the perfect stature. Like, not everybody can have perfect, like, stomach like me, right? But I'm just kidding. That was weird. But here's the thing, guys, is that our bodies burden us. They do burden us. Our bodies are not built to go on forever. The bodies we have now aren't built to go on forever. They're not like Ford trucks, okay? No. Oh, do we have some Chevy fans in here? Some Dodge fans in here? Some whatever I can get for $50 fans in here? Okay, yeah. All right, now, here's what he says. For we are in this tent grown, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. That's kind of interesting. Paul, what's Paul talking about that? What is Paul? Paul says, let's say it again. Paul says that he desires to be further clothed. What do y'all think he's talking about there? Huh? Well, in Christ, yes, but he kind of makes this reference to not being clothed at all, right? What does that mean? What do you think he's talking about? Let's think about it this way. If, let me ask like this. If, John, you've got a, what's your name, sir? John's going to talk to you after this. Here's the thing. If you're in this earthly tent, and like Paul, you really don't want to be in this earthly tent, what do you think he's kind of desiring? It kind of seems like he's desiring to die, doesn't it? Huh? Yes. And no. But here's what he says. So you won't think, whoa, does Paul say I should die then? No. Here's what he says. Let's see it again. He says, verse 3, if indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Paul is just saying, I want to be in a position to where I don't have to worry about this earthly tent anymore. But he's kind of telling us, okay, don't jump the gun here on wanting to die. I mean, that's not the point of life. Okay? We shouldn't want to die, like, physically. We should want to be clothed more in Christ, right? We should want to be clothed more. I mean, and that's what Paul's desire. Paul was like, dude, I want to get rid of this body so I can have a spiritual body, but that would mean death. So he's like, I'm not saying that you should die. I'm just saying that it'd be good to be with Jesus Christ and have these spiritual bodies. So Paul is just giving us, letting us know that after death will be much better than before death. And it's not saying, well, you should die then. No, he's just saying that after death, it's going to be much better. And there's a reason why he says that. Okay? But here's something I want to go through, okay? Because some of you are kind of looking at me, well, did Rudy just say I should die? No, I didn't say that. In fact, we have a mission here while we're alive in this world. Okay? So I want everyone to go to Acts 1. And I forgot to tell you to put this on there, John. I'm sorry. If you have your Bibles, go to Acts 1. And I want you to go to verse 9. Now, this is when Jesus ascends into heaven and his disciples are sitting there like, you know, there goes Jesus. You know, can you imagine the disciples seeing Jesus? He came back and they're like, whoa, Jesus is here. And Jesus is like, all right, I'm going. You know, Jesus, perfect Jesus. They're probably like, Jesus, please, you know, come back. And they're all standing right there. So here's what it says in verse 9. Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will soon come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. So here's the thing. I think Paul understood himself is that even though it would be great to be with Jesus Christ, guess what? We're here on this earth and we have a mission right now, which is to do what? Seek and save. Because who was it? It said, two men stood by them in white apparel. And what did the man in white apparel say? What did they say when they're like looking up? They're like, Jesus, can we go with you or whatever? And the white man was like, dude, stop focusing on this right now. Jesus going and wanting to be with him because guess what? Jesus is going to come back, but right now you've got a job to do, which is to go and find more people and bring them to me. I'm bringing them to Jesus. So the thing is, guys, is that although we could want to be with Jesus, and sometimes we, and my wife has told me once before where she's had a moment in her life where, not that she wished she had died, but she wished that this earthly time was over for her so she could be with Jesus. Am I right, babe? You told me that. Okay, I'm not lying. It was a while back, but she told me, because we go through times in our life, right? You're going to go through times in your life where you just wish that you didn't have to worry about all this stuff here. And I'm pretty sure there were times in Paul's life where he didn't want to worry about anything that was going on here. All he wanted to worry about was being with Jesus. And as much as we have, you know, with these problems and these issues, we have to realize that we are on this earth for a reason. We're on this earth for a purpose, which is to go and find those that don't know Jesus and let them know about Jesus and bring them to Jesus until Jesus calls us. Now, here's the thing. I want to go back to where we were at. 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians, what chapter? 5. All right. And we're gonna kind of put to an end about what happens to your body when, you know, as soon as you die, you know, do you sit there with the worms? Okay. By the way, what do you guys, have you ever thought about that? What happens when I die? Do I just like sit in the casket and wait? Huh? Ashes to ashes. Okay. Well, let's go through it. Yeah. By the way, I was witnessing to this Hindu lady today, and I got a chance to ask her about what she believed, and then she got a chance to ask me what I believe. And it, I don't want to say freaked me out, but I was just all like, wow, there are a lot of people who are really lost out there, because I asked her, well, what do you believe about death? We believe that you can die and be reincarnated. You know reincarnation is, right? Or it can be something else. I'm like, she said, we believe that you can die. And she's like telling me straight to my face. And I was like, die and what? You know, you can die and be reincarnated into something else. And you'll have a second chance in life. Yes. What? I worship a cow? Like 1% or 2% milk or what? Like the actual cow? Like a holy cow? Or I guess. I mean, there's probably a lot of things they worship. In fact, Hindus and Buddhists have like worship like. In fact, there was a survey that said that they have over like 2 million different gods or something like that. So that's kind of weird. They worship a lot of things. So cows might be one of those 2 million things. Now, okay, guys, if y'all want to pay attention here, I'm in verse 6 or verse 5. Now, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I want you to think about this. While we are on the earth, in these physical bodies, Paul says that we are what? According to that verse, what does Paul say? While we are in these tents, we are what? Absent from the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus Christ isn't there. All right? I'm not saying that Jesus Christ doesn't live in you. But there is going to be this fellowship, this complete fellowship. Yes, you should have fellowship with Christ if you're a Christian. But there is this, we don't have a complete fellowship with Christ yet. It's hard to explain, but I can tell it to you like this. And I'm going to give you an example because I work at a detention center. All right? And I walk by these jail cells and you see these kids, right? And there's like boom, 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 a jail. And you've got these bars there, right? Now, can I still talk to these people? Yes. I can still laugh with these people. I can still maybe even shake hands with these people. Have a regular conversation with these people. But will I have a complete fellowship with them? No, why not? There's a barrier there. Okay, so I want you to think about this. While we're on earth, we do have fellowship with Jesus, but we're not going to have this complete fellowship. Because we have these tents, these earthly bodies. And so it is kind of like being in this jail cell, like, yes, Jesus is there. And Jesus is living in me, and we are talking, and I have this fellowship with him. But there's not a complete fellowship yet. Because it's like this body that I have keeps me from having a complete fellowship with Jesus. Yes, you have fellowship with Jesus, but this body that I have doesn't let me have this complete fellowship with Jesus. Now, let's look at verse 6. It says, so we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Look at verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So once you're absent with the body, you are present with the Lord. Which kind of clears up and sums up something for me. Is that John 3:16, what does it say? That God so loved the world that he gave his only beloved son that should not perish but have everlasting life. That means that the moment that you die, your body dies, you're not dead. Right? And so you are present with the Lord. That's what it says. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now, and so it's like this. The moment that we get to truly be with Jesus Christ is really going to be kind of like that jail cell, like opening up, right? And yes, Jesus is right there, and we can finally have this full fellowship with him. Is that amazing or what? Yes or no? Yes. For me, it's amazing. I'm like, thank you, because I really want to see Jesus in all his glory. I want to see him, and I just want to know him. And I've never had a passion. I didn't have a passion for this as much as I do now, but I want to worship him forever. And I don't even understand that forever thing. I'd love to worship Jesus for eternity. Which is kind of a interesting idea, isn't it? Worshiping Jesus for eternity and always having perfect fellowship with him. But here's the thing also. What else does Paul have, though? He has confidence, right? He has confidence in the Lord. Why does Paul have confidence in the Lord? And the fact that when he dies, he's going to be with the Lord. Why? Why? Because he's saved, right? He's confident that he's going to be present with the Lord when he dies because he is saved. He has no worries whatsoever. Remember Paul sitting there in prison and guys coming by probably every day and beating him, and he's probably in the dark and, you know, probably a scary feeling to be in prison for a while and people just keep coming by and it probably smells and stinks. And he's sitting here and he's like, hey, I got confidence. Even if I die, I'm alive because I know I'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And I thought about that, and I'm like, how much confidence do we have in ourselves and like going out into the world? And that no matter what happens to us, we'll still be okay. Because Christ took it all for us, all right? And Christ defeated death for us. And so if you have this belief in Christ, you don't have anything to worry about. And so let me tell it to you like this, is that I used to fear death on an hourly basis. And I don't now. And that's all God there, because God, that lets me know that the Holy Spirit is working in me, and the Holy Spirit is letting me know, you know, even if something happens to you, it's going to be all right because you'll still be in the presence of the Lord because you are saved. I got to tell you one more thing, and then I'm going to stop, and then I'll move forward, and then I'm going to let the worship team come up here. But about 4 years ago, I don't know if I told you, but about 4 years ago, there was, I mean, no, about six years ago, there was an incident in Houston, and I didn't think about this at all until after I was saved. But I was walking home to my apartment, and I was going to get my mail, and I remember it like it was yesterday. I was coming back, and this guy stands right there in front of me and puts a gun to my head, right in the middle of Houston. And dude sitting there with his gun to my head, not saying anything for a while, and he says, well, give me all your money. Give me everything you got. And I give him everything I have, and he sits there with that gun pointed at me anyways after I gave him everything that I had. And it's the most eerie feeling in the world because, you know, it's out of your hands now. And by the way, this is before I was saved. And so I didn't think about it. Even afterwards, I was like, whew, I'm glad he didn't pull the trigger. But I don't think about that until maybe about a year or two ago, and I'm sitting there with my wife. I said, you know, that guy could have, I bet you he did have bullets in that gun. I bet you he could have pulled the trigger. I bet you he could have killed me. And I would have gone straight to hell. And I would have gone straight to hell, and I would have gone to hell with this fear. I would have had, you know, and I thought about all that stuff. And I'm not saying that to scare you, but I'm saying that to make sure, and I want to make sure, one, is that you have confidence. And that whatever happens to you in your life, that you will go to heaven. And that you'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it still scares me to this day that, I mean, it could have gone the other way just like that. Especially when the guy's putting the gun to me and he's thinking about doing it. And so that scares me. So it still scares me now. And I know I'm okay because, well, he didn't do it, but still, there's still that in the back of your head, what if, right? What if, what if, what if, what if? And so I think about other people now, you know, because there's a lot of people out there who are fearing death. And you may be one of them, I don't know. And I got to tell you, I do understand what you're going through if you do fear it. But I do want you to know that there's confidence in Christ. You can have confidence that Jesus Christ, no matter what's going to happen, that you will have fellowship with Jesus Christ for eternity. And Jesus Christ conquered death. And I have so much joy in my life because I know that. And I know that I don't have to worry about what's going to happen to me when I die. And one, I want you to make sure that you know what's going to happen to you if you die. And if you don't, then we can talk to you about that. And two, I want you to consider some people that if they die, what would happen to them? Would they be able to be with Jesus and be in heaven with you? Another question that someone had a while back with John had is that when we go to heaven, are we going to have families? Are we going to still be in the same families? Are we going to still have our girlfriends and boyfriends and all that stuff? When you're in heaven, you probably know the people that you're with, right? But I don't think it's going to matter. Why not? We'll be worshiping God all the time. We'll be with Jesus. And it's not even going to matter because the things in this earth are just things that are just like tents, right? It's just going to one day fall apart and all that's going to be left is just us and Jesus, and we'll be able to worship Him forever. And that's absolutely amazing. Wonderful to not have to worry about, you know, different things going on in life. Not have to worry. And when you get older, John understands, and maybe Stephanie and my wife is that we don't have to worry about bills. Yes, no bills. You won't have to worry about taking out the trash. Yes, no taking out trash. Or you won't have to worry about getting yelled at because you didn't take out the trash, right? Or you won't have to worry about that exam. Or you won't have to worry about the fact that... No, exactly. See, someone, there's hope, right? You should have hope in the things that's going to happen in heaven. And after that we do some worship, I'm going to come back with another verse, and I want you to hear it, because it's amazing to hear what's going to happen in heaven. I just have a burden now. After the things going on in my life over the last year or two, I just have this burden for people to come to Christ and people to be saved and people to have this joy in Christ like I have and I know John has. And I'd just like to pray for you guys. And I like I said, there's going to be some worship today, and I did cut it short, but man, we're going to be able to worship. Awesome. It's going to be awesome to be able to just come in the presence of the Lord and just sing to Him, and to come, even if you want to come to Him with a broken heart tonight, it's okay. He just wants you to come to Him. He wants you to bring all your burdens and all your worries to Him. And so as we start worshiping and when I come on a little bit, I want you to really prepare your heart and just see where you're at with your walk with Christ. And see where you're at with maybe your friends or with your own salvation. And the Lord just wants you to come to Him. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for today, God. And I thank You for this wonderful, wonderful thing that You've done for us, Father, is that You've laid it all down for us and given Your life for us, God. And I just pray tonight that we can see that You have conquered death. And God, that we can have perfect fellowship with You one day. Father, I just ask that You can just burden everyone's heart right now just to come and worship You humbly. And Father, let us all step aside and let the Holy Spirit just work in our lives. Father, we love You. And we just ask that You can prevail in this place.
Heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And saying, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give a fountain of new water, freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable murderers, sexual immorality, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I want you guys to think about two things. One, how perfect it's going to be in heaven for us. No more tears. How often is that? No more pain. How often is that? No more of the problems that we have. How often is that? But I also want you to think about another thing. Who will be there with us? Will you? Will your friends? Will your family? This is the time, guys. If there's something that you just need to bring to the altar, or there's something that you just have going on in your life personally, or pain or sorrow, or something that's just going on that you want to just wipe clean, or maybe it's just you want to recommit yourself to Christ, or maybe you need to give your life to Christ. Whatever it is, you can come up to the altar, like I said, or you can write it down on a piece of paper and pray over it and give it to the Lord, or you can lay down right there where you're at. Whatever it takes, the Lord just wants our heart. But it's just absolutely amazing for me to think about heaven when I read those words, and I'm praying that you guys can too.
You would notice me, you're the maker of the stars and the depths of the sea. Nothing in my hand I bring, only to your cross I cling. It's only by your grace I sing, my King.